full time. The makers of Elgin watches, by tradition a part of every joyous season, bring you the second in a series of four holiday programs. Presenting Shirley Temple.
Truman Bradley. Hello, everybody. And thank you so much for all those nice letters you sent me after last week's show.
Well, Shirley, it looks like you and Billy Arts and the Mellow Airs are going to do all right. You know, in radio, those letters are one way you can be sure people are listening.
Oh, I know a better way than that.
You do?
Oh, sure. I just told everybody that Robert Young would be here tonight. And you know what?
What?
Here he is.
Thank you, Shirley. I'm very happy to be with you here tonight.
You're not happy as I am, Mr. Young. I just saw your new Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture, H.M. Fulham, F.
You mean, Esquire.
Oh, you're fooling, Mr. Young. Esquire is a magazine, and it's for men only. But, gosh, honest, I don't know anybody who could play the part in our story tonight as well as you.
Oh? What kind of a part is it?
Well, the story is called Mr. Ideal, and it's a comedy, and you're very funny.
Yeah, but what part do I play?
Oh, you play the title role. You're Mr. Ideal.
Oh, I'm Mr. Ideal. Hey, that's all right. Sort of a perfect type, huh? Tall, rugged, clean-cut, and intelligent. Not bad. What do I do?
You drive a laundry truck.
Oh. And what happens?
Oh, you'll find out all about that in good time. Say, did I say good time?
You certainly did, Shirley. Why?
Because that's all Truman Bradley needs to wind him up.
Oh.
You know, he's got something important to say.
Well, why not let him say it then? Come on, I'll go get my blue ink ready. The great curtain of New York's Metropolitan Opera comes down, and a young singer, poised and beautiful, smiles at the applauding crowd. It's Gladys Wortham, whose charm has only been increased by continued triumph on opera, stage, screen, and radio. Known everywhere for her discriminating taste, Miss Wortham has been given the Fashion Academy Award and is recognized as one of the 15 best-dressed women in the world. Always happy to welcome achievements in American art and craftsmanship of all kinds, Miss Wortham was delighted to see the new Lord and Lady Elgin watches, she said.
These watches show a most fascinating and original use of color and design. Such beauty is making America the style capital of the world.
Yes, and you can see these same Elgin watches at your jeweler's. Watches beautiful enough to say Merry Christmas from you to the one you love most. But remember that Elgin beauty is more than case deep. For 77 years, Elgin has been known for excellence and unvarying standards of craftsmanship. And the United States government has given Elgin a fine recommendation for their true precision. For national defense, Elgin furnishes a large percentage of the precision instruments required for Army, Navy, and aviation use. And, of course, every part of every Elgin, down to the tiniest screw, is made and assembled in America by American craftsmen, many of them the fourth generation to make Elgin watches. See these Elgins at your jeweler's. You'll like their distinguished styling. You'll know their precision can be trusted. Our play tonight is called Mr. Ideal, written especially for Shirley Temple and Robert Young. It concerns a very normal young lady, part of a very normal family, the Burtons. Father, mother, sister Nancy, and dad, living in a very normal, mid-sized American town. That being the case, we could scarcely get to know them better than at a very normal family lunch.
Ain't you going to eat your salad, Mr. Burton?
No, Lily, just bring me some coffee. Some folks are getting awful hard to please you.
Oh, dear, now you've hurt your feelings, Henry.
I've got to go back to the office, Martha. I can't eat a salad full of garlic. Guys, I don't like garlic.
Sam likes it.
Well, you can tell Sam. Who the devil is Sam?
Lily's boyfriend. He works down at the service station.
Works down there and eats up here, eh? Martha, that Lily needs a talking to.
Please, Henry, you know how difficult it is to hold a cook these days.
Sam holds Lily all the time. The head.
Honestly, Mother, that child is getting impossible.
I'm not a child, Nancy. I'm going on 13 and
children, please.
Mom, can I go to the afternoon show? There's a swell picture of the bijou. It's educational.
What's the name of it, dear?
Torrid Woman with Nita Novita. Gee, she's super.
Now, Bab, that's not the sort of education you need.
Why not, Mum? All the other kids are...
what your mother says. Now, just for once, I want a little peace while I eat. Just a minute. Annie Burton speaking. Who's this? Oh, for you, Nancy.
Hello? Oh, hello, Ed. Oh, don't be silly. Uh-huh, 5 minutes. Toodaloo.
They call it conversation. 3 grunts and a giggle.
Who was it, Nancy?
Ed Winters. He's coming over and we're going to the bijou.
The bijou? Gee, Mother, you wouldn't let me see Torrid Woman.
Bad, dear. Perhaps when you're 18.
When I'm 18, it won't be plain anymore.
Now, look here, young lady. You've got plenty of time to... Hello. Yes, Helen. Johnson's in the office now? Well, keep him there. I'll be right over. Sorry, Martha. I've got a rush. Johnson's a mighty important customer.
We'll never end it. Dinner at 6.
Gee, Mum... what am I going to do in this old house?
Dad, this is not an old house, and you can... Oh, I know. You can take a nice walk over to the library and return a book for me.
Mother, there's Ed. You want us to drop you at the woman's club?
Oh, just a minute, Nancy. Now, Bab, don't you get in any trouble today.
Hey, Mother, he's waiting.
I'm coming.
Trouble. As if a person would get into trouble when they're just walking to the library with a depressing old book.
Sure. Everybody goes and has fun except me. You think there was a law for you can't have fun when you're 12? One of these days, I'll...
Hey, watch out!
Oh!
Oh, that's the trouble with you, kid. Never look where you're going. Don't you realize you could have been killed or injured or bruised or... Well, don't just stand there. Say something.
You're losing your laundry.
Holy mackerel.
You stopped so sudden, some of the bundles rolled off the back.
Well, there's no use crying over spilled laundry again. Young lady, do you realize you're costing me money?
What? Did you lose any bundles?
I'm losing time.
Yes?
Yep, 3 suits a week. That's 2 over par.
Oh, a lot of our people.
Say, now take this. When a wife stops darning or forgets to sew buttons on her shirts, you know what they call that?
What?
Incompatibility.
Oh.
There we are now, all loaded up as good as new. Which way are you going?
Well, I was going to the library.
Well, come on, hop in. I'm going right past it.
Gee, thanks.
At least it'll postpone your being run over for a while.
Gosh, it must be wonderful to have a job like this and drive a truck and go around knowing everybody's laundry.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, there's a story in every one of those bundles. I call it a social anthology written in the Weekly Wash. Of course, you know what an anthology is.
Not exactly. My mother's pretty strict about what I read.
Well, you ought to get a book on anthology sometime and read it. It's fascinating stuff.
I don't know if my mother would let me.
She wouldn't? That's the whole trouble with mothers, shielding and protecting children.
Yes?
Well, of course, not letting them drink from the cup of experience.
You really think so?
Certainly. Keeping them prisoners in a little dark cocoon when they should spread their wings and burst out into glorious adventure of living, don't you think?
That sounds awfully good, but I don't think mother would like it. I guess maybe she's old-fashioned.
Oh, that's the whole trouble with things nowadays. Women with half-baked ideas running our lives, telling us how to eat, where to go, and what to think.
I guess they do.
Sure. Who designs those fantastic hats? Women. Who decides what pictures can be shown? Women. Who spend more time reducing their waistlines than they do improving their minds?
Women?
Men. Sometimes they're even worse than the women. That's the fault of our whole social pattern. And people like that are parents of our children.
But, gee, a person's got to have parents, don't we?
Do children have parents? I thought parents had children.
Oh.
And what do they do to them? Now, take yourself. You may grow up full of fixation, repression, psychosis, complex.
Well, why?
Well, because you're not expressing yourself.
Gosh, how can I? Every time I say something, the family won't listen.
Well, you've got to make them listen.
How?
Well, why don't you do something startling? Create a diversion to force their attention.
I don't know if I could.
Well, I'd tell them off if I was there. After all, it's your right to grow free and unfettered.
Gee, thanks. It sure makes a person feel good talking to you. I mean, well, getting a lot of things off my mind.
Oh, that's nothing.
I hope I'll see you again sometime.
Sure, sure. What's your name?
It's Barbara Burton. You can call me Bab.
Burton on Oak Street?
Yes, the number is...
Oh, I've been there lots of times. Oh. If you're going to be around this afternoon, I'll be dropping in.
You mean you're coming to see me?
Well, sure, in a way. But I might as well pick up the laundry while I'm there. Say, where the heck is that library?
The library?
Don't you remember?
Oh, the library!
Yes.
Oh, gosh, we passed that 3 blocks back.
Oh.
He is tall and handsome and very intelligent.
Hello, Babs.
What are you writing?
A composition for school.
Well, fine, fine. What's it called?
The Modern Laundry. Dad, how do you spell intellectual?
Intellectual? I-N-T. Say, what's intellectual about a laundry?
Oh, Henry, yeah, I'm so glad you're home. I promised Lily he'd be at 6. So he's going out this evening.
Miss Sam.
Hurry along. Lily.
I can't find no table linen down here, no.
Shut up, Stephen. The whole trouble was this house.
Oh, Mother.
Have you heard? No. Well, I am.
Mother, I never heard such nonsense in my life. If you don't do something with that child, I...
Really, remember your blood pressure.
Oh!
Now, look, you just dropped the button off your shirt.
Well, is it any
time? You better throw it on right away.
Dad, I just...
I mean, you can't live with a thing like that. I don't want you to be like the Hobies.
The Hobies?
Mrs. Hobie doesn't sew on buttons, and now they're going to court. They're incompatibility. They're...
That's enough, Babs.
But, gee, I wouldn't want people thinking
that.
For all I'm trying to say...
You've said too much already.
But, God...
Not one more word, you hear? Not one single solitary word. Now, Martha, I think they should... Hey!
Dad!
Is she out of her mind?
I'm creating a diversion, that's what.
Diversion? You call smashing a platter?
I had to get your attention, Dad. I've got to express myself.
Huh?
I don't want to grow up with impressions. That's the whole trouble with parents. Trying to make me stay in a cuckoo. I want to spread my wings and fly.
Fly?
Well, gosh. I've got a right to grow up free and unfettered, haven't I?
Oh, heaven!
Is she kidding?
I'll handle this. Young lady, who pumps you full of all these crazy notions?
Nobody. And he isn't crazy.
Now we're getting somewhere. What's his name?
Mr. Ideal.
What?
Well, I don't know his name, and that's what it says on his truck. Ideal.
Ideal what?
Ideal Laundry.
Ideal Wait a minute. Miss Burton, were you in today when your Mr. Ideal took the laundry?
Well, Lily had to go to the market.
Were you or weren't you?
Well, I guess I was.
So my organdy blouse went into the bundle.
Gee, Nancy, it needed pressing, honest.
And all my shirts.
And the table linen.
Well, that's his job, to pick up laundry. I had to give him some to pick up, didn't I?
Babs, I want to talk to that fellow. You have him here tomorrow afternoon, you understand? 6 o'clock sharp. That'll give me a half an hour before dinner.
Oh, hello. Well, just imagine running into you like this, Ben. It's getting to be a habit, isn't it?
I've been waiting for you to pass.
Oh, got things on your mind again?
Look, are you ever in our neighborhood around, say, 6 o'clock?
Sometime.
This afternoon, maybe?
Yes, I think I could make it.
Well, if you could come to our house about, well...
Babs, have you got a temperature?
For me, Mother?
Well, your face is so flushed and... Barbara Burton, you have rouge on.
Gee, you don't want me to look like a ghost, do you? Not when we're having a guest for dinner.
Yes. Oh, we aren't having any yet. Dad, do you mean you've asked the laundry boy to dinner?
Well, gosh, suppose you were starving and you smelled all that food and saw that hungry look on Daddy's face and... There he is, Mother. I can't unask him now. I'll go let him in.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
And that truck driver's got his nerve all right, parking right in our driveway. You think we were entertaining him?
We are. I'm afraid he's staying to dinner, Nancy.
That bundle snatcher? I'd rather eat in the kitchen.
You just wait till Dad comes out. Oh, yes. It's fun this time. Dad isn't home yet.
This is my mother, Mr. Ideal. I mean, Mr.
I'm Bob Evans.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do? I really appreciate your asking me here. This is the first dinner invitation I've had since I came to this town.
Look, Mom, you brought me flowers.
Flowers? For me?
Well, back home we always take flowers when we're asked for dinner. Oh, by the way, I brought your laundry along. I put it through as a special since I was coming anyway.
Oh, yes, the laundry.
You know, those are the loveliest linens in town, Mrs. Burton.
Well, how nice of you. You know, you're so different from what I... Oh, I mean, oh, dear, I better put this laundry in water. Oh, I mean, these flowers. Babs, you take good care of Mr. Evans.
Say, she's really swell, Babs.
Yes, I know. But don't you think parents are sometimes...
Nice place you've got here, too. Real solid American home. Comfortable furniture, books, pictures. Say, whose picture is that?
Oh, that's my sister Nancy. She's half-baked.
Say...
You know, I'm really glad you came tonight. Now you can tell my folks
all... Is she really that pretty?
Well, don't you think pictures always flatter a person? But what I was saying...
Anybody home?
Miss Babs. Now, don't you worry. Everything's going to be all right.
Boy, is she a honey.
Oh, hello, Babs. That fella here yet?
Yes, Dad. He's here.
Good. I'll go back to the kitchen and talk to him in a minute.
Oh. Who's this young man? One of Nancy's admirers?
Well...
I certainly am, sir.
I was telling you before. You must be new.
Well, this is the first time I...
I'm really from out of town, Mr. Evans. Burton. Okay, sorry.
Oh, that Evans. I went to school with a chap named Evans. Stubby Evans. Great football player. You look just like him.
Well, I guess I ought to. He's my father.
Well, I still say there is that. Your father? You Stubby Evans, kid?
Yes.
Well, what do you know? You play any football?
Oh, little. I've had a couple of seasons at State. I'll be a senior next year.
Mr. Evans is very excited.
Hey, that's my uncle, Kate. You mean you're the Bob Evans of State?
Mm-hmm.
My boy, I'm proud to shake your hand.
Well, thanks.
Last year in that homecoming game, you... Oh, that fella can wait, Nancy. Come on in here. Why didn't you tell me I knew this lad?
Well, he didn't know
that. Anytime I find a football star like Bob Evans in the house, I'm going to talk to him clean shirt or not.
Especially when he's a Bob Evans of State, huh, Dad?
Bob Evans.
You know how these laundries are, Bob. Just left me the shirt on my back.
Oh, you've got plenty of clean ones now, Miss Burton.
Well, then maybe I... Huh? How do you know?
I brought them. Ideal service, sir.
Oh, yeah, they just about the best. Hey, wait a minute. You mean to say that you're that...
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Man, I want to talk to you.
About football, huh?
Abs, you know what I want to talk about.
Oh, sure. The big game in your senior year. There you are on the 10-yard line. 2 minutes to go. The ball's passed. It came to you.
I start forward. Chubby takes the right hand out. I see an opening. Hey, what am I saying?
I've heard a lot about that play, sir. Dad says you were terrific.
I don't want to talk about that.
But, Dad, you always do.
Now, look here, Matt.
Oh, there you are, Henry. Have you met our young man?
Yes, I've met him, Martha, and I've...
Isn't that nice? Now we can go into dinner.
But
now we
can... Oh, he's coming heaven's for it. Come on, let's...
Be sure you're straight. Why, it's very discouraging.
But what about all those other things you were talking about?
What other things? Look, Nancy. Later on, there's a sophomore ball and a junior prom and...
I mean, there's... like your ideas about parents.
Oh? What about parents, young man?
Parents? They're the greatest things in the world, sir. I think everybody ought to have them.
Oh.
And then later, Nancy, there's
but
the...
Bob, don't you think sometimes parents aren't, well...
You see, Nancy, the really big affair...
But see, Bob, aren't you going to say it?
Say what?
You know, this is our chance.
Mother, will you make her stop pestering Bob?
I'm not pestering. I
only... Now, that's enough, Bob.
But you don't understand, Dad.
I said that was enough.
But, God...
Not one more solitary word, you hear? Mother, I think we'll have to go...
Oh, dear. Oh, don't mind her, Mr. Evans. She's just creating a diversion.
She knows what I'm doing, Mother. Go ahead, Bob. This is your chance.
My, chance?
You know, to tell him how you feel.
Well, I feel fine.
No, I mean about all those things you said. You remember, about people and life.
Oh, life. Well, now, Babs, you know, you've got to look at things from your parents' point of view, too.
You mean you're on their side?
Well, after all, they are your father and mother.
I see. You're just like all the rest. You're just like every other parent.
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm not a parent.
But you will be someday, and then you'll be like them. Your children will grow up half-baked, and you'll have depression, and you'll never let them spread their wings.
But, Babs,
and you won't care. You'll just watch your waistline and wear crazy styles, and you won't find stories in a laundry bag.
Babs.
I'm just glad I found out, that's all. I'm glad I found out in time.
That's quite enough, Babs. Go to your room.
Very well, Father. If you order me. After all, I'm just a mental slave. If you wish.
I just want to say goodnight.
Good night.
You know, I was thinking maybe one of these days you could ride around the roof with me and we'll have a nice long talk.
I think we've talked too much already.
Yes, haven't I? You know, it's quite possible this self-expression stuff can be overdone. Oh, just a minute, Nancy. We're going to the movies, Babs. I'd ask you to go along if there were any other picture, but Nancy's crazy to see Torrid Woman, and you're a little young.
Bye.
I'm coming. I'm sorry, Babs. Good
night. Torrid Woman. Torrid Woman. She saw that yesterday, and she said it was awful.
With Shirley Temple and Robert Young in an original radio play called...
Coverage of the news. Melbourne, Japan's most advanced invasion spearhead, apparently blunted momentarily on the north, the east, New Guinea coast, was reported officially today to have been stabbed off at a tangent into the Solomon Islands in a new threat to the supply line from the United States and to the island bridge toward New Zealand. The move was disclosed in an Australian Air Force communique, which said Japanese naval forces had been seen 3 days ago off Kisa, a tiny Buka Island stepping stone from New Britain to the Solomons. There was no definite indication whether the Japanese landing at Buka was completely definite, but it was recalled that several times earlier, Japanese planes have been scouted in that area of the Solomon Islands and New Zealand. And that's the news from here. Here is the exciting radio drama, Front Page Feral, the unforgettable story of marriage and the newspaper office. The story of a handsome, dashing young star reporter on one of New York's greatest newspapers, and the girl he marries on impulse to save her from throwing herself away on a rich man twice her age. Don't resign yourself to the pain of headache, neuritis, or neuralgia until you have tried the remarkable preparation called Anacin. Try Anacin, especially if it's really quick relief you want. You see, Anacin is like a doctor's prescription, in that it contains not just one, but a combination of highly effective and medically tested ingredients. Physicians and dentists everywhere know this truth and often give their patients an envelope containing Anacin tablets. Try Anacin next time you have a headache or neuritic pain. Use it as directed on the package. Results will amaze you. Get Anacin, A-N-A-C-I-N, at your drugstore in tins of 12 and 30 and bottles of 50 and 100 tablets. And now, Front Page Feral. For several days, Sally Feral has been busy making plans for the future, for she has determined that David, her newspaper reporter husband, shall be relieved of his dependence, meaning Sally herself, her mother, and her sister, and thus be able to enlist in the armed forces of his country. So far, her plans are not complete, but she has every hope of making them so in the next few days. At the moment, he's visiting with her next-door neighbors, Florence Schofield and her nephew, Leslie, in the little suburban village where Sally and David have recently moved.
You see, I didn't want to say anything about it to anyone before I had some idea that it could be managed. Since going to New York yesterday and talking to David's city editor, Tim O'Donovan, I feel ever so much encouraged.
You mean, Sally, that you want to get a job in some war production industry?
Yes, of course. I want to get a job, and I want to find jobs for my mother and for my sister. I want us all to be working as soon as possible.
But, my dear Sally, aren't you rushing into this without thinking it over carefully enough?
Oh, that's what Tim said to me yesterday, Miss Schofield. But it's not true. I haven't thought of anything else for days. I've known for ages that David has been restless and unhappy, but I wasn't sure what it was all about.
And you're so sure now.
Yes, Leslie, I am. You see, the other night, Kay Barnett came out with him, and she told me. Kay is one of the reporters on the New York Eagle and one of our oldest friends. Evidently, David told her just how he felt about not being able to be fighting in this war, and, well, she told me.
Now, I'm not so sure she should have done that, Sally.
Oh, I already knew it myself, Miss Schofield. So the least we can do is to make it possible for him to do what he thinks is right.
I just can't get used to the idea you're going to work.
What's so strange about that, Leslie? I used to work on the Eagle before I married David.
I know, but still it doesn't seem right. I know how I'd feel if I were in the same situation and it were Beverly who decided to go to work. Of course, that won't ever happen. Not to a man who's lame and not good for anything but modeling a few figures out of clay.
Oh, don't say that, Leslie. Your work is very important. You know it is.
How important is it at a time like this when the whole world is being torn apart?
It's important for us to keep things going at home, Leslie. It's important for you to go on with the work that you've studied so hard all these years. I know you'll be famous someday.
Of course he will. Oh, Sally, the doctor's coming over later today to remove the bandage from Leslie's eyes.
Well, Leslie, that's wonderful. You've been awfully lucky in recovering so quickly.
I guess so.
You know perfectly well you have. And in just a few days now, you'll be well enough to start working again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, aren't you glad? Aren't you anxious to get started?
I suppose so. I've spent so much time thinking over what a fool I've been for such a long time that I hardly had a chance to think of anything else.
Such a waste of time, Leslie. It never helped.
Maybe not, but ever since Beverly came to the house and read to me, I've realized how completely empty my life has been without her.
That's my fault, Leslie, for being so selfish.
No, it's my fault for not asserting myself.
Now, I won't stay here and hear the two of you blame yourselves about something that's all over and done with. Beverly has forgotten the past. Why can't you? You know, Beverly is in love with you, Leslie.
How do you know?
She told me so.
Are you telling me the truth, Sally? You're not just making it up.
You know I wouldn't make it up.
Beverly loves me. I can't believe it. That's the way I behaved. It just can't be true.
It is true, Leslie.
Did you hear that, Aunt Floyd?
Yes, Leslie, and I'm so glad for you.
Well, if that's true, then it changes everything. You know what I'm going to do the minute these bandages come off my eyes?
No, what?
I'm going to start back to work as I've never worked before. I'm going to ask Beverly to pose for me. Since you and she look enough alike to be sisters, I'm going to ask her to pose for me and finish the work that we began. She is going to be my best piece of sculpturing. If I hurry, I'll be able to get it in the exhibition.
Leslie, there's something I want to tell you.
Oh, it doesn't matter now, Sally. If only you knew how excited I am.
That's wonderful, Leslie, but...
Now, I'm glad I started that particular piece of work. I can finish it with Beverly. Oh, this is too good to be true.
Leslie, you mustn't get yourself too excited. It may not be good for your eyes.
Oh, nonsense. Nothing matters now. Nothing at all. Well, why the silence? Aren't you going to say something?
I think perhaps I ought to be getting home.
So soon?
Well, it's later than I thought. There's so much to be done. I'll see you to the door, my dear. Goodbye, Leslie.
Goodbye. And if you see Beverly, please tell her to hurry over.
Yes, I will. How am I going to tell Leslie the truth? I think perhaps you'd better wait a day or so till he's a little stronger.
I hate to think of him looking forward to getting back to work on that statue, not knowing it's smashed to bits. Not knowing that David smashed it up in spite with Leslie.
But it won't help him to know now.
Still, he'll have to know sometime.
Yes, of course, but...
Oh, if only it hadn't happened. If only I'd never brought that statue into the house where David could see it.
Oh, don't worry about it, my dear. It's nothing you could have helped. In a way, it's all my fault.
I feel so badly. Well, I can't help matters by standing here talking.
I'd better go on home, but I'll be back later. All right, Sally. And thank you so much for everything.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, dear.
Poor Leslie. He's going to feel so awful about this when he finds out. I wonder if he'll ever understand how it happened. I tried to tell him just now, but when he stopped me and I saw how happy he was, I just couldn't. Goodness knows what he might have done.
Sally?
Well, David, when did you get home, darling?
Just a few minutes ago. I'm going to do some more of the special war articles for the newspaper, and Tim said I seem to get along better working here at home, and I guess he's right. Where have you been?
Next door. David, I'm so upset about Leslie.
Is he worse?
No, his eyes are much better. It's about his work.
What about it?
He told us he was going to finish the statue he started of me. He's going to get Beverly to pose for him so he can finish it.
Oh, he doesn't know it's smashed?
No, and I didn't have the heart to tell him. David, I don't know how I ever will be able to tell him.
Well, tell him the truth, dear. Tell him I saw it sitting here on the living room table when I got home after he stopped me and picked a fight and that, well, I smashed it to bits.
But that isn't all of it, David. His aunt who put the statue out in the trash box and I was the one who brought it in here.
And what difference does all that make? It smashed and I did it. Who can this be? Hello?
Hello. May I speak to Mrs. Farrell, please?
Yes. Is this you, Tim?
Yes, David.
You want to speak to Sally?
Please.
Well, just a minute. You, Sally, Tim O'Donovan.
Oh, thanks, David. Hello, Tim.
About that proposition you came to see me about yesterday.
Yes.
I've been working on it, Sally.